but it can be represented also in the form of a god and goddess in embrace. This is the Shiva Shakti image, the god and his Shakti, or his consort. Now this wonderful word, Shakti, which applies to the female in relation to the male, that's what it means. A man's wife, a man's consort, is his Shakti. The word means energy. The male, you might say, is a placid being, and what he wants deep inside is just to be left alone. And then this aromatic mystery goes past, and he is stirred. As James Joyce says in Finnegan's Wake, she whispers to him of such and such and so. And he thinks, well, it would be nice again. And so we have a new world, another world. He is stirred and becomes active. Woman, this is quite contrary to our normal Western and also to the Chinese view, where the female is recognized as the mass principle, the inert, and the male is the active. Here, the male is the inert one, and the woman is the activator. Ramakrishna speaks of the male and female principles as water quiet and water rippled. And we have this actually in the first verse of the Bible, where the spirit or wind of God broods over the waters and whips the waters into action. It is that activation of the water active, that is the world creation. And in that act of water, what we see are lights coming and going, coming and going. Those lights are ourselves. And we think of ourselves as this light to be preserved. And here I am, oh, I'm gone. The texts are going to tell us, no, don't identify yourself with that little shimmering light. Identify yourself with that source of light which is reflected in this shimmer with which you've identified yourself. Well, the goddess may be pictured, and she often is, as a quite horrendous, horrifying phenomenon. There she stands in a heroic attitude with her tongue out long, sometimes down to her waist, red and threatening, to lick back the blood of her creatures. It is she who gives birth, it is she who licks back the world. One right hand will say, don't be afraid, nothing's happening. Another will either be in the boon-bestowing posture or hold a little bowl of milk rice. She's the Annapurna, the one full of food, giving, giving, giving of her abundance. Then her left hand, one will have a sword of death, and another will be holding a head that she has just cut off. And in fact, it is to her that most of the great sacrifices took place, beheadings of animals and human beings, and immediately turning the beheaded head to her altar so that the fresh, foaming blood as ambrosia would flow back to her. And at her shrines, you will see the channel to carry the blood back to its source in her. And she will have a necklace of skulls, and her kilt will be of arms and legs that have been amputated, and we address her as our dear mother. Now in the West, we tend to make our beneficent divinities beneficent and our malignant malignant. The main point in these Eastern images is that both terms are present in the same image, as it is as they are in life. Gottfried of Strasbourg, in his wonderful Tristan, says, they tell me there are those who seek only happiness and peace. Let God give them peace. I seek the life that has both bitterness and sweetness simultaneously. And that's what we get in these wonderful Indian images in particular, and the power with which this dual aspect of life is rendered, and we are asked to acquiesce in it, is something that is very telling when one experiences it.